Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to discuss the expected inflation adjustment for the Social Security program for 2024. The adjustment will be finalized on October 12th when we get the final CPI print, but based upon two of the three values that we have now, the range, expected inflation adjustment range, is going to be between 3.1 and 3.3 is what I expect. You may recall last month I had a podcast on inflation, so you can reference that. We talk about different measures. We're actually going to introduce a couple new ones in this podcast today. You can also reference my blog post, like all these podcast topics. I've got some graphs in there that you can reference, including some links as well for some of these topics. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So before I get into the details of how they go about calculating this inflation estimate, I thought I would give you a very high-level overview and give you the punchline numbers. So if you want to get in and get out here, I'll give you the numbers. So again, as a reminder, Social Security, every fall, they look at inflation indices. I'll explain later. And then they announce how much the benefits will be increasing for those that are receiving benefits or, if not yet, age 62, which I'll talk about later. Again, we'll know the final number on October the 12th. But we have a good estimate here. So that estimate, like I mentioned in the lead-in, for the Social Security benefits that you're either receiving or if you're after age 62 and above, I'm estimating that inflation increase will be between 3.1% and 3.3%. You may recall last year it was a whopping 8.7%. I've got a graph on my blog post of what those annual adjustments were over the years. But definitely this is a big one. So I'm sorry, last year it was the big one. So 3.1 to 3.3 is a big drop from last year, but last year was an extreme anomaly. Separate from that, Social Security related, but for those people who are still working and you're paying into Social Security, the salary cap that goes up on the Social Security portion, which again I'll explain later, but that's going to be bumping up. It's expected, not finalized yet, but going up from $160,200 up to $167,700. Again, that is going to be the maximum wage base. So if you have income above that, you'll be capped for Social Security taxes. If you're below that, there's no impact. You're going to pay the full tax on your whole salary. And then finally, not really in this blog post of details, but other Medicare-related stuff, they too have inflation adjustments. And so, again, early estimates, not finalized yet. Medicare premiums is expected to be around, or expected to be exactly, $179.80 per month of premium per person. That's up from the $164.90 currently. And then the IRMA, if you're a higher income person and you are paying those extra Medicare premiums, they're called IRMA, those thresholds, the modified adjustment gross income, is going to expected to bump up for a single filer to 101, and for joint filers 202,000. So, that's the quick summary of expected increases for 2024. So now let's step back. Let's go back and revisit each of those numbers and maybe provide a bit more detail of how that's calculated and some interesting tidbits, at least from my perspective, that I find interesting or to be aware of. So the first thing is again back to the Social Security benefits, and so. I mentioned last month on my podcast and blog post, I talked about inflation in general. I talked about CPI, PCE, core CPI, core CP, et cetera. A bunch of different inflation gauges. Yes, they're coming down, but they're getting a bit sticky. Actually, this print that we just had on Wednesday, yesterday it was, the core, everything was still increasing a bit, but slowing down on the core. But actually, the headline number, which the media was latching onto, look how much it's coming down. That actually went up quite a bit, actually, mainly driven by the gas prices, energy prices. But it was definitely a noticeable pop. Just because it's various measures here, so specifically the Social Security benefit actually uses a slightly different, so it's CPI based, but it's the CPI for wage earners. So it's not quite exactly the CPI you hear on the news every month, but so it's CPI for wage earners. And the calculation, they look at the average of the 3 months from a year ago, July through September of 2022. And then they use the July through September of 2023 here, and then just take the annual rate of change between those 2 points. So that's how the calculation is done, and then they round it. So that is the specific calculation. So that's why this is an estimate. I've got two of the values. I got July and August, but we'll get the September CPI print on October the 12th. And then I'm expecting, you know, if inflation does not increase at all in September, it's going to be a 3.1. If it increases by 0.6%, which is on the high side in what it was this past month, then it would be the 3.3. So that's why I give you that range and my estimate. I did mention, again, this applies to if you're receiving benefits. Let's assume it's going to be 3.2 as an example. Whatever you're receiving now for 2023, your benefit would go up, you know, 3.2%. However, a key thing to be aware of, and I got some questions on this last year because it was such a high inflation adjustment. If you're over age 62 or over, but you're not receiving benefits right now because you're waiting to either for full retirement age or ideally till age 70 if you can to get the 8% per year increase in it, in the benefit, be aware that you still receive this inflation adjustment benefit. So you don't have to claim in order to get this. And so the system will take it's called a primary insurance amount, PIA. But just the bottom line is you don't need to be receiving these benefits and you still get this inflation adjustment. So that's one thing to be aware of. However, I kept saying age 62 and above, but what if you're below? So for those that are below age 62, there the calculations shifts over to wages and they keep inflating your previous wages up to current dollars, but it's based upon a wage index. And so, again, similar, it's going to rhyme, but it's not exactly the same. But again, the main point is all of them, either past wages inflated up based upon wage inflation or age 62 and above benefits inflated up based upon this CPIW. So got in the weeds there, but those are the details of the calculations. For those, again, related to Social Security that are paying in, so if you're currently working or self-employed, you're paying in FICA taxes. Specifically, you're paying in, you the individual, 6.2% for Social Security, 1.45% for Medicare, and then if you have income higher, which I'll explain, you're paying in an extra 0.9. And then your employer will kick in two of those three, which I'll explain. So let's first start with that 6.2%. The interesting thing here is that 6.2 for you that you pay in, and then your employer pays in, or if you're self-employed, congratulations, you get to do it twice. The 6.2% applies to your gross wages, but it is capped. Currently in 2023, it's capped at $160,200, and then it's expected, again, not finalized, for 2024 to grow about 4.7% up to $167,700. So if your gross earnings are below that, doesn't matter to you. You're just going to keep paying in the full 6.2. But if your income is above those levels, you know, each year you have to pay in a bit more of that 6.2. So that's the expected amount. I think it was $460 or $480. $465 is the expected amount if you're above those levels for extra taxes you'll be paying in. That's a 6.2. The 1.45% FICA tax that you pay on gross earnings that goes to Medicare is not capped. And so if you're making the $100,000, you pay 1.45. If you're making $160,000, that. But even if you're making $200,000, $300,000, there is no cap on that. So that there is no change to it because it just keeps on going up as your salary is going up. And again, that is paid by you and your employer or, again, self-employed. You got to go twice. Then the third tax, and this is only applied to the individual. So your employer does not join this party. But if your income as a single filer is above $200,000, I think that's AGI-based. Pretty sure of that. Don't quote me on that, but I'm sure it's AGI. Or if it's $250,000 as a joint filer, then you pay an extra 0.9% of this extra Medicare tax. But you may, if you're an astute listener of my podcasts or reader of my blog posts, it's like, huh, Kirk, those are the same numbers you kept saying all those years. And that is correct. Though the wise politicians, when they set these in 2010, 2012, they set those levels, 200 and 250. Those are not indexed to inflation. So it's a little trick of theirs where they, you know, throw in some pretty high numbers. They don't get as much of pushback because it doesn't impact as many people, but then it never goes up with inflation. So it's going to be catching more and more people each year. And, you know, 10 years, 20 years from now, you know, more and more of you will be bitching about it. So just be aware it's not indexed for inflation. Another topic in the details. So again, I mentioned the benefit is based upon the CPIW. There is an alternative measure. Again, because this is a Social Security benefit, mostly applies to people age 62 and over. There's studies, academic studies and indices where the expense index, you know, the CPI as relates to a 62 plus year old versus ages below that, they have a different mix of what makes up their purchasing basket. So it's called a, I've got my website, I call it the age 62 plus index, which is what it's commonly referred to as, but technically it's the research consumer price index. I guess research because it's not formally adopted for this purpose. So oftentimes you'll see in those years where this 62 plus index is above the CPIW, the inflation is running hotter, you'll get pushback from people saying, hey, you should really be using this age 62 based index because that's what we, the Social Security beneficiaries, are experiencing. You know, gosh darn it, you know, change the law, change the rules. But in those years where CPIW is higher than this index, which the last 2 years it definitely was quite a bit higher, then you don't hear about it too much. So I'm bringing it up because this year CPIW is lower than this age 62 plus, only by about a little bit, under a percent. But I suspect you'll get some more media attention and, hey, we really should change the index. I encourage you to look at the graph on the website or just look at the data if you can get it. But over the long run, it kind of shakes out. So there are periods where, you know, I think from 2017 to 2020, it was almost spot on. But when you do have big moves, either up or down, those two can deviate. And so that's when you start to hear about it in the media. But again, the Social Security law as written, based upon CPIW, and it'd be tough to change that, but you may hear about it. Let's see, what else? Oh, so again, not the intent of this podcast today, but some of you may be saying, well, that's great, Kirk, but Social Security won't be around for me anyway, so why bother? You know, my quick answer to that, the short answer is yes, it will. I feel very, very strongly about that. However, I acknowledge that it likely, if politicians don't do anything, they will have to start cutting benefits. I have a blog post and a podcast on this back in April of this year, April of 2023. I have a link on my blog post, or my, you know, go back to the episode number, whatever that is. So if the politicians do nothing, they put out a report each year, the trustee report, and it says you got to cut it benefits by about 20% to make it viable, or maybe they'll raise taxes, or maybe they'll do a combination. But the main point is it's not going to be zero. So if they do absolutely nothing, there's enough money coming in to pay for at least 80% of the benefits for the next 75 years. And so do pay attention to this. You know, it's going to be around for you. Just want to quickly point that out. So that is the Social Security expected inflation adjustments coming up. So in summary here, let's wrap it up. Just as a quick reminder, we won't know for sure until October the 12th when we get that final third CPI print, but look at CPIW, to clarify. But looking at the two of the three first looks here, I'm expecting between 3.1 and 3.3% of a benefit increase. For those of you still paying in, paying those FICA taxes, that's a different index. It's a wage index they use. That's expected. They're going to expect it to go up by about 4.7%, which how it impacts you is the salary that's exposed to the 6.2% is likely going to go up to about $167,700. Again, you may start to hear us on the news, this 62 plus index, and why aren't we using that? The reason they're going to talk about it is because that is now higher, and if they were using that, they'd be getting a higher raise. But again, they didn't talk about it a lot the last 2 years when it was quite a bit lower than the 8.7 and the 6 and change that they got. What was the amount? Looks like 5.9, I'm sorry, back in 2022. So you might be hearing about that. And again, as a reminder too, all these numbers I'm throwing out, they will start applying for the 2024 benefit year and FICA tax year. So we get the information now, but no impact on you until January of 2024. So that is the quick summary of inflation and Social Security, and that is a wrap on today's topic. All right, thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.